What's up, everybody? My name is Indy, and the gentleman next to me is Jay Powell from Powell Group Consulting, and welcome to the 16th annual Indie Game Business Conference 2024.
Is that the number we decided on?
You know what? I decided it right now. It's the 16th annual.
It's bad when you've been doing these for so long now that you literally lose track of what number event it is. So, yes, we'll go with 16. And welcome everyone, and especially welcome our friends at the IGDA who will be showcasing and streaming our conference periodically through the next 2 days as well. Real quick, I want to thank everybody like we always do. Listen, we do this for the indie developers. The entire point of this is for you not have to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars to travel across the world and learn things. We're going to bring it to you for free. Keep in mind, whatever you watch here is going to be on our YouTube page moments after it's done, and you can catch up and watch and rewatch and take notes and write dissertations or whatever you need to do about said topic. If you've got questions, any point, drop them in the chat. Also dedicated rooms on the Discord server over at discords.gg/indiegamebusiness. But those of you who've been with us for a while know all this stuff. And so thanks for joining us again and helping us make this entire endeavor successful for going on 6 years, Dan.
Yeah.
And you and I have never met in person.
Not once. No, but my hair was not gray when we first started at all. So
I'll
maybe a little bit, maybe like right here, but.
All right. With that, welcome our first speaker of the conference, Caitlin Burke. She's from Haptic Studio, and she's going to be teaching all of us how to do mocap on a budget. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Excited to be here. Excited to kick it off. Let's go.
All right. We're leaving. You're in charge.
Bye. Yeah, you're in good hands. Bye, guys. Hi, everyone. Welcome to my presentation. I'm excited to be here and talk to you about doing motion capture for your game and some voice acting on a budget if you need it. Wait, what is...
I ain't got no snare in my headphones. Hey. Oh, hi. I'm Caitlin, and I'm going to introduce this talk today about voice acting and motion capture using my voice acting skills. So I thought I would do that ahead of time. Does a little tunes. What does that even mean? Oh, yeah. The motion capture, and I'll include voice acting too on a budget presentation. Yeah. Yes, even for 2D games.
Cool. We're going to talk about 2D games as well. I did regret that as soon as I made it, but it is in the presentation. Oh, so I had to go with it. So the motion capture presentation. If you want to maybe raise the production value of your game, put fancy stuff in there, save time on animating all of your character movement, and contribute meaningfully to the ever-evolving landscape of video games and pushing boundaries and inspiring others, this might be the presentation for you. If you're into all that stuff, let's go. Now that what you saw me in the chair is not the final product. What you can do with motion capture, of course, might look something more like these projects here. As well as video games, there's cinematic applications and commercial applications, as I'm sure you're all aware. How long would it take to keyframe all of that stuff? That's why we do mocap. So we get the idea. What I'm going to cover in this presentation really is what to keep in mind if you're going to do a motion capture shoot and how to plan that shoot, and how to consider whether you're even going to try to go after motion capture in any of your projects or games. At the end, I'll talk about voice acting because I also do that and have some expertise to share there, whether you are considering putting voice in your games or you maybe want to do it yourself. So motion capture, what it can do for your business, for your game, is give you some better animations, assuming you have talented animators and actors, and bring you some of that professional quality that we see in a lot of the games that we love. Having really expressive characters enhancing your cinematics. And my favorite one that I put in there, really make your vision yours instead of going to the marketplace, because we can buy all kinds of assets of characters rolling and doing emotes and walk cycles. There is a marketplace for that. But if you really want to go for custom stuff, you have a character that you want to share with the world, custom mocap is kind of the way to go. So why am I talking about this in the first place? I'm just a regular working actor. I've done a few Super Bowl commercials. I'm in a play right now being directed by Jeff Daniels of Dumb and Dumber. And I've been doing games and motion capture and voice acting in the Michigan area here for years. I did live on the West Coast working for companies in Seattle like Microsoft, Warner Brothers. I do game jams a lot, so if nothing else, hit me up to do a voice in a game or something. I currently work at Haptic Studios in Lansing, Michigan. Michigan now has a motion capture studio, which is cool. The Midwest does not have a lot of that. So I love doing biz dev. That's my position there, and I like to talk business with y'all. So hit me up for game jam or to talk business whenever you want. My socials will be, well, they're in the front, but I'll put them in the end as well. So motion capture in indie games, we're not used to seeing this, not used to talking about this. And even 2D games, yes. So the mocap libraries you can use if your needs are just simple and you don't want the character to, you know, have a lot of character. Also, if you have a lot of keyframe animation to do, and that will take 84 years if you have a lot to do. So we can skip all that. There are cost-effective motion capture solutions depending on your needs. They might be garbage, but they're kind of getting there. The really cheap ones are not quite there yet, but we'll go over all of the options. So from Cinema 4D, that's like, they'll come with your Adobe stuff, Sony Mocap-i, I don't even know how they say it. There's inertial systems where you don't need the whole studio. You just wear trackers. Or you can go to a studio, and there are ways to try to get in there on a budget. And I'll give you a ballpark for what to budget if you're going to go into a studio, what you can get for a day, what you can get for an actor. I'd plan, like, the professionals will definitely charge $500 to $1,000, depending on if they're non-union or union. That's for, like, a studio game. For an indie game, it's kind of like indie voiceover. You can kind of negotiate and see what they'll do it for. Don't have someone like risking their neck doing crazy stunts though, for like, if you're just going to pay them $200, don't do that to them. Unless they're like, well, I was going to flip all day anyway. So maybe in that circumstance, you totally can. So at Enigda, one time, a wise guy once said that anything that is a job title, you can't just do in a short time. You can't just learn that skill real easy. So your animators, your actors are potentially very important when it comes to considering motion capture for your project. My boss, these are his words, not mine. He said about the Sony mocap-y stuff, the really cheap end, will deliver ass animation, but at $400, it's cheap. So the big caveat is if you can get an animator who's willing to put in the time to fix up the animation that you'll get out of a cheap solution, that's when you can really go for it. And you can find those people who are looking to boost their portfolio. They might be willing to work for less, or maybe they're in between projects, or they believe in your project. The same kind of goes for actors. If they're looking to boost their portfolio, get involved with stuff, have holes in their schedule. There are people coming out of college who are, you know, studying animation who haven't learned the ropes of mocap yet. So, because they're all focused on keyframe animation. Motion capture is a pretty big hole in college programs right now. So the difference is in keyframe animation, of course, you were like building the movement like one frame at a time, everything from scratch. In motion capture, you have all of the movement, you have the whole thing, but then you need to fine tune it. Maybe you had like weird clipping, or maybe the wrist broke and you have your best take, your character is like broken. So you have to fix all of that eye lines like one frame at a time. So it's opposite, and a lot of keyframe animators aren't used to working that way, where it's essentially backwards for them. It's a whole different workflow. Maybe they like it, maybe they don't. Hopefully find someone who's like ready for that challenge. Even 2D, yeah, you can do 2D stuff. An easy way to come at some of that, if you need more like cinematics, green screen. Green screen is super cheap. You can get a good setup for $200. And the caveat to green screen is what Just Dance does here is not that curtain you can hang up in your basement and just roll it out on the floor so you have even the feet you're able to capture. They're in like a psych studio where they painted everything green. That's very expensive and tough to do because they eliminate the corner in the back of the room. Just watch it for a second. Let's not. Well, we've all seen Just Dance. Let's just go on to the next one. So you can build your own little motion capture studio. This looks super difficult. This guy is Cinematography Database. He is a whole YouTube channel on figuring stuff out that looks very hard and technical. He's done a great job, and it looks kind of... He put together an optical system. Was it OptiTrack? No, Vicon. Yeah. And that in itself is an undertaking. So wouldn't recommend setting up your own optical system. But if you are super technical, just watch his stuff. One really doable solution are the inertial suits. That would be like an XSens suit. And this is doable, especially for if you need to be in an outdoor location. If you have like a long run cycle you need to do, you'll have to be outside. If you have a parkour course that you figured out, if you're going to be in a skate park, something like that, the inertial suits are great for that. You can try to call them up and say, hey, I want to test a suit. I want to borrow it. I want to use it for a special project. I'm working on something great. I'm a big up-and-comer. You should let me borrow your suit and try it out and use it for marketing, whatever. You can kind of make a pitch like that and try to borrow one. Otherwise, they're going to try to sell you on it. It's going to cost you $3,500 at least, I think. But we were able to secure one for a game jam. A veteran motion capture guy in the space, Troy McFarland, he wanted to try these out, and he was on my team for a game jam. So he talked him into getting a loaner. And I'll show you what we did.
And Troy.
Oh, hey.
What are we working on?
We're making kick asteroids.
Every day the same old thing. Fly through space junk, repair the ship, save everybody. I would have been scrapped if I wasn't so good at fixing things. Oh, well, time to kick asteroids.
Jose, what's up, buddy?
Huh?
How's it going?
It's going pretty good.
I'm about to make some music.
And action. There we go. And action. That's your new idol song.
Forget to do emote.
And jump. Okay, that was pretty fun. Okay. And cat on the.
Oh, yeah.
There it is, I think. There.
Sensors on the shoes.
Yep.
Shin sensors. Head sensor. Back sensor.
We get to see him put some of the characters into the game already.
Yes. Had to do the dab. Okay. So, as you can see, it's actually doable in even a game jam setting. Using props and, like, hammering, there wasn't a sensor on that prop, so I don't honestly know what we did to include that. I'm kind of thinking our character was so small that you wouldn't see it, or they just used their little robot arm. But having it for the movement was pretty essential to get that to read. And you can see how that guy, like, lifted me. There's ways that you can help the mocap to be better behind the scenes, and I find that really cool. It's part of the puzzle and part of the fun of capturing your vision. Like, because I can't jump that high. I wish. Man, wouldn't that be cool?
And Troy.
Oh, hey.
That video's not going to work. There are markerless options that you see people using their PlayStation camera or their Kinect, and those are coming along. The technology is actually advancing there, where I think that'll be how we do it way down the road. We still have a ways to go. This was a silly video of a bunch of people dancing in a room, and you can see the capture that was completely markerless. They're just in the street clothes, no cameras or anything around. And it looked really good, but I have a feeling that that's not the standard result that you're going to get with that stuff quite yet. The industry does work on those optical systems, but I bet there might be pro little indie studios that do a great job with your inertial suits like in that last video. Should you do your own motion capture acting? Well, maybe you can. So if you need cinematics, if you have theatrical movement, wide shots, your professional motion capture actor is going to be able to thread that needle and give you a cinematic performance like in a close-up, and they can be a big theatrical person. Most actors are really just kind of one thing. They're good at voiceover, or they are a stage actor, or they're just auditioning for TV all the time. So there's like a little subset of people who will kind of do it all and do it all well enough to be like your motion capture people. And when it comes to doing it yourself for your own game, I think it's easier to pull it off on your own, be your own actor for motion capture than it is for voiceover. Voiceover is it's such an intimate thing. We can tell if someone is like working too hard to be the character, or they're selling it, or they're not letting it live in them, or they're trying to reach that emotion, but it was really fake. Like, we can kind of tell right away in voiceover if someone's not super, super good. But most people, if you're a little bit weird and fun, like we all are, you can like pretend to be a monster and you can flail around, and then it'll sell. It'll read. It's when you have monologues and kind of more meaty character work is where you're going to want to have an actor do that, who's used to doing it, who's used to memorizing lots of stuff. When in doubt, put yourself on camera and be like, would I buy that? Would I pay for that? That's what I do. Make sure that I'm doing okay. So I'll make you suffer through a monologue I did in the motion capture suit. It's not finished, so I just have this. Let's watch it. Let's check it. This is full performance capture, meaning doing the body stuff.
Ready.
Face is captured and the voice is captured with separate microphones.
Hello, it's me, conjurer of spirits, master of the dark arts. It's Merlin. Whoa, your secret is safe with me. No one knows of your existence, I swear. But we Britons are in a bit of a desperate situation. It's this whole, like, end of times thing. Really, it's happening right as we speak. This big clash of personalities. Rah, it's awful. And I hate to ask this, but we need your help. It's true, I am what they say I am. I'm a liar, I'm a charlatan. I've deceived my whole life. But if I could for a moment just make the world a better place, I would give up anything. money, drinking, women, money and drinking. Your world was destroyed. I'm sorry. But don't let ours die too. I beg you. Oh, that'll do.
Plus some Transformers 5. I stole it from Stanley Tucci. I'm a big fan. So start and end in the T-pose. Just kind of keeps everything calibrated. And that's what we do in mocap. We T-pose. So if that were an on-screen performance, if there was a film frame I had to worry about, it'd be way too much movement. But since in motion capture, in a system like this, almost all of the systems, in fact, you can kind of, after the fact, place the camera wherever you want. So playing that one big for the space, and so they can capture all of the movement. And then if I had to bring it in tight for a close-up, I can do that. A more experienced actor will be able to kind of improvise if you need it. They'll kind of get what you're going for, what you're doing really quickly, and they can kind of direct themselves and make up for any lack of direction from you if you're the director and you haven't directed a lot. So you're going to have new people in mocap, you're going to have experienced performers, and then you'll have people who've done a lot of mocap, and then you're union mocap people, which are SAG people. That's the guild for motion capture performers. But I put Philip Seymour Hoffman on there because he's just the goat of all of acting. And I put him there again because he's still the goat. So pro tips when you go to do your shoot. If you're going to record audio, know that ahead of time because the optical systems don't capture audio. You're going to need to mic up people and hit start and stop on that recording as well. If you're going to do XSENs, it's really hard to run that by yourself. You'd have to like run back to the computer, hit record, you know, go into your space, do your T-pose, do your thing, go back, hit stop, watch it, make sure you got it. So two people with that at a minimum. And when you borrow the suit or when you buy it, the technicians will help you set it up, walk you through it. At least at the time, I wasn't left to my own devices with it, and it was great. We could learn it in a day and then use it the next day. And for that silly little shoot, the Kick Asteroids thing, we were able to just kind of move on the fly. But if you're doing locomotion sets, if you're working with your playable character, then and you need them to like walk, turn, back up, strafe, you might want a whole shot list for that, because it'd be sad to be like, we did turn left 90, but we didn't do turn left to 180, and then you just don't have that. So extensive shoots need to track everything. This is the GOAT. I'll catch acting, in my opinion. This guy is tough in the first time. It's a real deal.
Doesn't take much to feel the rush with nothing but your eyes on it. How about we do just like we do? Two crazy fools just breaking free. No, it don't matter what we've been told. I can see the sky below. Yeah, it's just you waiting on the road. Oh, I don't see no red lights. Just the wild ride. You're my getaway. You're my getaway.
With the acrobatics, man. Speaking of acrobatics, if you're going to have actors try to be ninjas or ninjas try to be actors, they're not always the same people. So making people do stunts, stunt guys are completely different breed. And some of them are good actors. But a lot of times there's different people if you're going to need some extreme stunts. Your next choice, you can go into a studio. You're like, markerless, it's not going to work. You know what? We got the budget. Let's go to the studio. Let's have these guys run the shoot. They're used to it. Maybe you need hands. Hand tracking, advanced retargeting. If you don't know what these things are, then you maybe have to call a studio and at least get a quote. Sometimes they have holes in their schedule. Sometimes they need to train new people up. Sometimes they need to test equipment. Sometimes they need to add to their portfolio as well. So you can negotiate. You can ask for things. You know. Sorry, something in my eye. Okay, so where do you get actors if you're going to go the actor route? The more versatile and character actory someone is, the more roles that they can do. So if you need NPCs in a fantasy land, and you need like a stoic guard, and you need like a fancy lady walking in the street, and you need like a bard strumming, you're a really versatile person, can just do all of those. You only have to hire one person. And then you can root a little bit for your androgynous actors too, who can like be a female character and be a very male masculine character. It's always fun when you find people like that and who can like sell it. And some of that is their skeleton and their makeup. If they have kind of an androgynous form as well as the ability, then you can kind of have them go there. So you can find these people maybe at university. Definitely an agency if you have one by you. You can put up a Facebook post. Me as a working actor, I'll look for a job on X on Twitter, but I won't look for a job on Facebook, not anymore. If you have a favorite actor that you want to use, you can call up their agent. You can go to a casting director, and they are professionals at finding people for you. That's a service you have to pay for. An agent will just take a cut from the actor or their manager or whatever. It's a whole thing. It's a whole racket. Let me know if you need advanced info on any of that. But really, it's just like you look up the place, you call the people, you ask for what you want. If you need stunts, all the weaponry, the boffer weapons, the fake guns and stuff, your studios will have all of that. And they'll be able to put markers on them so you can track the weapon. So if your guy drops it, throws it, whatever, you'll have that data. Studios will have access to people. There'll be people that they prefer working with generally, but you're always open to bringing in your own cast. You can cast whoever you want. When you are working with any actor, or if you're going to do it yourself, your energy is really going to go after a couple of hours, especially running. I mean, the spaces aren't that big, so you're running like 50 feet, then you stop, and you do a couple takes, but even that, after 4 to 6 hours, even like your high school, college athletes are going to peter out after like 6 hours. So try to get everything in then. Really plan that shoot ahead of time and plan it tight. And your brand new people are going to want to do good. They're going to be in the moment. They're going to overdo it, and they're going to flail around. So kind of watch for that and don't let them hurt themselves, because it could happen. It can happen too easily. So I have in this presentation some links to things that you guys can check out. I think they make the presentations available to you after if you want some of the extra resources and that stuff. I will say the rates for a studio, $4,000 ballpark. It's like $1,500 usually to like rent the space for the day. And then you'll have a couple animators or a couple technicians. And then they'll process that data out at a couple bucks per second. That's what it is. But within that time, you could do the entire locomotion set for your main character. Walk, run, backwards, turns, duck, idle, all that kind of stuff. And you can have them do a couple NPCs. So you have some background guys as well. You could totally do that all in a day if you planned it really well and you went to a studio. And if you want this little video, I won't play it, but it is cute. You can check it out later. If you have 2D needs, then there are solutions that you can do that are markerless in your house, and have your character do all the things. I don't know if it does fingers, it does hands all right. Maybe we will play it a little.
So yeah, if it saves time, that's what I say. Go for it. And depending on how technical you are. So don't forget, if you're going to do a shoot, to have your reference footage and that reference audio. I say always run two mics. But if you are doing reference footage, then you should have audio from that. That'll help you sync stuff up. And your how you're going to name your files will help you stay organized. And your shot list. Now we'll get into voice acting for a little bit here, last 15 or so. And, dude, who doesn't love a good voice performance? I fell in love with Claptrap. The first one, the original guy, did it the best. And I'm such a big fan of Crash Bandicoot that I got my training in voice acting from Lex Lang, who plays Neocortex in Crash Bandicoots, because I'm a big dork. And when I went and I lived in Seattle, I was like, Cortana and Master Chief have the same agent out there. I'll try to get that agent. And I did. So all of my, like, my whole career setup is just based on me being a dork. I don't know where my comments are. I wanted to ask you guys, like, who your favorite characters are, who your favorite voices are in games. I don't know. Message me or something. I want to know. Oh, no. I did another video. No.
Hi, guys. It's me. It's Caitlin. I'm in the studio, and I'm going to have to make this brief because I think something is after me. But ChatGPT did have something to say on why you should hire a voice actor. It's really kind of simple. Really. Hiring a voice actor can significantly contribute to the aspirations of game development and help alleviate some of their fears. Firstly, incorporating an actor into a game can enhance its overall quality and immersion, thereby increasing its appeal to players. Well-performed voiceovers can breathe life into characters, enriching the narrative experience and forging stronger emotional connections with the audience. This can be particularly impactful for indie developers aiming to create memorable gaming experiences and establish their games as unique and compelling. Additionally, hiring a voice actor can help indie developers differentiate the game in a competitive market. Professional voice acting can elevate the production value of a game, making it stand out among other indie titles. This can be crucial for garnering attention from players, reviewers, potential partners, or investors, ultimately increasing the game's chances of commercial success. By entrusting the vocal performance aspect to a skilled professional, developers can focus more on the aspects of game development, such as programming, enhance the game's appeal, potentially leading to increased sales, positive word of mouth recommendations, and thus offsetting the initial expenditure. Overall, hiring a voice actor aligns with aspirations of indie game developers by enhancing the quality, marketability, overall appeal of games, while also addressing potential fears related to competition, workload, and financial stability. That's all I have for you. And I did survive that, so no worries here. Everything is, that's great. The end. Yep, I did that. Yeah.
Oh wait.
Yeah. Good.
Sorry, I forgot.
You forgot,
hi guys. It's me. It's Caitlin. I'm in the studio, and
I have my intern. He's gonna be the one chasing me down. He forgot. Anyway, that went better in my head when I planned it. We're all just having fun here. No, it's great. Okay, so but basically, you're going to have for your indie game, you use a voice actor. You're going to have a friend who's going to help you promote it. They're going to be excited to put it on their stuff. Unless they're like, you picked a super busy person who just doesn't have time for all that. Usually they'll go on podcasts for you. They will put it on their IMDb. They'll make the IMDb listing themselves. They'll brainstorm with you other ways to get your game out there. And a lot of actors are like, they're pretty decent on their social media games. So they'll post it out there to their 1,000 or so followers usually. When you want to bring in your voiceover talent, expect 2 weeks to do that casting. You've got to write a breakdown. You got to post it up somewhere. You have to collect auditions or the demo reels. You have to read through them. You have to like pick your favorite couple people. Then you have to ask them about scheduling, and it's this back and forth. So 2 weeks for that. And then once you schedule and you plan your record date, that'll take about a week, and then you'll have whatever time left to implement in the game. So make sure you plan around when you need it done and work backwards for like a couple of weeks.
if you bring someone in early, they may, like super early, they may influence your writing decisions. They may be a good improviser. They may give you alternates and more lines than you ever wanted to work with. You'd be like, these are so good, how do I choose? And that'll be a good problem to have, but they'll really bring your character to life with all the vulnerability. And where do you get them? Actors, a lot of them have websites, especially the voice actors. They love having websites. Everyone's got a flashy website. They look great. There's different casting sites. They're really annoying to use. I don't want to spend time on that stuff anymore. So I'm not really on them. And there's probably a lot of people in that boat with me. Your dev friends can give you recommendations. You can just search hashtag VA. I like VO, but they do VA on X and you can find a bunch of people. Instagram, they're on there too, but they're really super active on the Twitter space. So post up your breakdown and the submission email where you want things sent on X, along with if it pays, that's kind of the standard way to do it. And, or you can just ask people for their demos. If you don't want them, if you don't want to hear them saying the lines, you don't want to write up that whole thing, you can just listen to demos and then see what different kind of characters they can do. Maybe they can do a couple characters for you. So creating a good breakdown for people, a picture of your character helps. That'll help spark their imagination. And you'll get probably a little bit better auditions that way. Include their basic traits and archetype of who they are. Maybe their size and demeanor. Maybe a little bit about their story arc. What's the function in the game? If you have a strong idea on like the pitch and tempo, you can include that. You could do a celebrity example, but I wouldn't suggest it because you'll get a lot of people doing the same kind of thing. So say that unless if it's like very specific vision you have. For little kids, there's a lot of women who do little boy voices, of course, because I wouldn't want to work with an actual child. That sounds like a nightmare. So for an indie game, for a non-union person, $200 is kind of a ballpark, but people are free to ask for whatever they want, right? And depending on how bad you want them, you might be willing to pay that or not. Maybe you can even get the friend discount. You can go down from there. There should be an extra little fee if you have to like re-record or do more lines, but that's a lot cheaper. And this will vary a lot. This is like a super ballpark and it's kind of the Wild West for non-union talent, especially. If you have the money and you want to hire like Lex Lang, just ask his agent. It's not impossible. You could do it. I'm going to ask Pauly Shore to be in my game that I'm working on because I met him once at a Comic-Con and he seemed cool and gave me his number. So like, shoot for the moon. Do it. How do you run the session? You're going to connect with them on Zoom or Discord or FaceTime, however you can kind of hear how they're delivering the lines. This is for their if they're doing a remote recording from their own setup. And then you can have them ABC it. That's like industry's term for do it three different ways each line. And try not to write in your script like angrily, whatever, because it just kind of looks amateur, like the actor is supposed to interpret and kind of figure that out on their own. And put their own artistry to it. That's their job. If they are giving you for their ABC the same kind of take, just have them do three different intensities and be like, just start it like real chill and then have the last one be like, oh, over the top, as crazy as you can go. That'll help you get three different takes for sure. And you can ask, you'd be like, hey, can I ask you to do a line reading on this? And they'll be like, oh, sure. You'd be like, oh, do it like this. Ha ha ha. And then that'll save some time. But generally, you're not supposed to give actors line readings, but you can if you ask. And then usually most people are fine with it. Sending the files off is its own whole thing. If it were me, I would just record for an hour or whatever that session is and then have them send you the whole file. If you want them to like break up everything, if you don't have a way to edit it, and you want them to break up this set of lines and send it off as a file. And then this set of lines and send it off as a file. That's going to take forever. And you might want to compensate them a little bit extra for their time doing that because it'll take a couple hours maybe. If you're able to go to a recording studio, then the audio engineer there will do all of that stuff for you. They'll make it sound amazing. and they'll run the session too really well. You'll still be able to direct, but it'll be super smooth, a much more expensive option. But remember that if you are asking your voice actor to record themselves remotely, then they are the audio engineer and they're doing two jobs at once. Man, voice actors. Are there AI? Could AI just do this? What was it? There was an app that was like actually pretty good that I just heard about. I don't remember what it was, but the creator Swami on TikTok, one of the last 15 TikToks he did talks about it, and it was good. But usually the time it'll take you to like try to figure out a good AI solution and then test it and then find out that it doesn't work that good, you can be well into your casting process and have something that is real. You still might run the risk of getting something that is kind of cringy or not real human, or you've run into one line that was super important and you just needed it to be done a certain way and you just can't get the AI to do it. That's what I foresee would happen. If I were trying to do this, that's what would happen for sure. And I'd be like, man, I like have to start over or have a super bad solution at a really critical moment. So it's not there yet. Kind of thankfully, voice actors don't want it to go there. We don't all want to lose our jobs. And also, if the AI thing you're using has like stolen someone's voice and then they're able to like track that down in the future, I don't know. It seems a little risky right now, is my honest assessment. If you want to voice act yourself, put yourself in your game. If you want to be a voice actor in general, then you come to a really good place because you can connect with all these people here. And that's where your work is going to come from. Connecting with people, being cool, having something to offer, being confident in your skills and your services, and passionate. So that's kind of the mindset part of it. But really, you have to get your demo reel. You have to like get it all cleaned up. You can compare yourself to other demos to kind of like calibrate your ear to a really high quality of what the sound needs to sound like and what the lines need to sound like, how good the acting needs to be, the breadth of emotion you're going to want to show in that demo reel. And these are all great places where you can go and listen to other people's demos and, you know, find actors if you need or work on your own skills. So how to break into voice acting, if that is where you're headed, there's a bunch of different things. This was like, here's a rough outline of a path that I took. I didn't start with voicemail, but that's how I kind of started making money. I was doing voicemail messages for small businesses, for recording studios themselves. My agent always has me do sales training manuals for automotive companies, and they're really long, really boring. It takes a long time. It pays okay, and it's a little stressful, but it's voice acting work, man. I've read audiobooks for people and for friends. Then people's audio plays, which is the best because that's character stuff. And this was after like auditioning, classes, hustling. And I have a secret trick. Creating your own stuff. You create and you connect with people. Then the work can kind of slowly start to come to you. Don't make it a 24-hour hustle and grind because it just doesn't seem to work like that. You get super diminishing returns. So make it a fun side hustle, and don't hustle until 2077, because that'd be it's not a fun way to spend a couple decades trying to spin your wheels. So treat yourself well in the journey if you're going to do a creative thing, whether you are making games, whether you're being a voice actor, and don't be too hard on yourself and your hustle. You'll get jaded in the industry. Like me, I'm not broken. I still have feelings. It's all good. Let's move on. Anyway, so use your friends if you want. Good ways to gauge those skills are to listen to a lot of things and listen to yourself. Come back every week and tweak that demo reel. Don't use a Blue Yeti. Just don't. I hate that microphone so much. I listed a couple people here if you would like to use them. And that's it. Hopefully, have fun in this indie game world. Let me know if you need any advice on mocap, voice acting. If you want to talk business, here's where you can reach me or reach the studio. So let me know if you need a voice for your things. And I'm happy to take questions, whatever you got. I ended exactly on time.
Oh my God, you did.
I did.
To be clear, Caitlin, one, we are all dorks. That's why we do this. And two, we are all also broken. That's why we still do this. Yep. So it's just part of going along with it. So yeah. I have a question on the voicemail things. Yeah. My wife has done HR for years, and she's typically being the female in the office, the one that they rope into doing that.
Yeah.
Do you have that completely separate work voice like she does? Because I swear to God, sometimes I can call and I don't even recognize it's my own wife. Mm.
100%. Yeah. Thank you for calling Haptic Studios. Press one for more options. Press two to leave a message. Press three for Spanish. I don't know. It's like, yeah, the commercial side of auditioning for commercials is totally different than like the wacky character stuff.
I don't know how many times I've called her office and it's like, oh, is Julie available? She's like, it's me, idiot. And I'm like,
oh man, she'd be a good voice actor.
Yes. Yes. All right. So we do have questions. First off, from Miriam, pull these things up so everybody can see it. Did you ever try using Adobe Character Animation? And if so, what's your opinion of the program?
I have not. I have the whole Adobe suite and I'm good at like three of the programs. That one I haven't tried it. From my friends that have tried it, they say it's pretty good, but they're doing pretty limited things. Like their character has kind of like this amount of motion. It's kind of like talking head, but for a character. Is what they've been able to do.
So next up from Paul Forrest, what is a suitable setup for capturing several characters at once on a budget? Several XN suits, perhaps?
I would recommend the studio. You're going to need a larger space, like 30 by 30 feet, depending on how many people. But if they have a camera density enough, then you can handle 8, 10, 12 people on the high end. But several XN suits, that would cost you more than going to a studio for a day to do that. That's why I say studio.
Assuming you can get a hold of them, right?
Yeah.
Do you ever work with meta world characters like VR chat emotes? Example, dancing or point and look. It seems like it's a good use of mocap.
Yeah, and that's why I brought up the markerless options, because I think it's getting there. I know just from the Apple stuff and making this stupid little octopus like send someone a message, but like the facial capture on it is pretty good. And for face capture for smaller projects in the studio, we'll use like iPhones and apps that are on them, because their face tracking is good. It's definitely good enough to do. And you don't have to put the dots on the face anymore, because it's basically markerless capture.
It's, I mean, just from my side and watching the show floor at GDC, for example, it's amazing how far this tech has come in really such a short time. Because it wasn't that long ago, everybody was walking around in one of those body suits with ping pong balls on it. And the thought of capturing facial animations was like, okay, that's just fucking wizardry. That's not real. You don't actually do that. On that first video that you showed, this is why I love these things. It's like I get to find out the parts of the industry that even I don't know. When you've got that's an iPhone in front of your face, right?
Yep.
What is it doing? What are you seeing?
It's like taking a selfie video, but with this grid layout over the face. And that's what it is. And then it'll grid someone else's face if they pop in behind me. So you got to like not get in each other's shots.
Don't get any sight lines, or you're gonna have random people in your video.
Yeah, and when you're performing, don't look at it. Just like find a way to like block it out.
So, what is the biggest mistake that new industry folks make when they're trying to do this for the first time?
Not planning the shoot and not working with an animator who's capable of fixing your mistakes. When you're using mocap, you want him to like be on the ground. You don't want him to be like hovering an inch above the ground or clipping through the ground. Like all of that stuff you have to assume you might have to fix.
Are you sure you don't want, maybe they're supposed to be floating, Caitlin? I mean, we're not here to judge. all right. Here's another one that we get, because we've had a few, especially voice actor folks, come on the show and the podcast and the conferences. How does someone break into that? because we have a lot of folks that are constantly, it's like, oh my God, I would love to be a voice actor. How do you even get started in it? And then later on down the line, how do you get unionized?
So you have to be, it's kind of a game of being very good and being very known. So if you're not like extremely good, your only job is to get better. And you can take classes, and people get sucked into like submitting on the casting websites all the time. I don't like any of that. I would prefer to make my own stuff until I get really good. Then I have content, at least the better parts of it, to promote myself. And then you have to, once you're really good and you have that good demo, then you have to hit up agents and managers and try to get someone to represent you who can submit you for the good jobs. And you're probably not going to like make your living at it for a very, very long time. That's like a 5 to 10 year journey to where you have a top level agent who's going to get you into good projects. So whatever you can do creatively on your own to get better and have fun with it, I would hang your hat on that for as long as you can and have fun.
So how do you find a good agent? I mean, I'm sure this industry is like ours as well, where somebody gets laid off from job A and then they're like, oh my God, I want to be an agent, and they suck at it. So how do you go about finding a good one?
I would start with your own local talent agents, whoever is in your town. If you look at their website and they have actors on there who have like decent looking headshots, and if you can listen to voice reels and they sound good, that's a legit agent, most likely. An actor doesn't have that, and you'll find out quick if you're going to sign with someone and they're going to charge you money to be signed with them. That's obviously a scam, because they're supposed to not make money until you make money, because they take a commission on your jobs.
I like that the bar there is a good headshot. That's
kind of, yeah.
So for the Discord, if you're looking to find animators to clean up raw motion capture, say from an XSens, what skills should we ask for?
I would ask to see like a demo reel, see anything that they've worked on, even if it's their own projects. I would have want to see what they can do.
All right. And so this one had me laughing at the end because I had a Blue Yeti for a long time. So a question about microphone. Which microphone do you recommend to start your adventure in voice acting, and why not a Blue Yeti?
Oh, I forgot to say why. It's so bassy and deep. It just adds so much bass to your voice that like I can almost tell when someone is using it, and it sounds really amateur to me. Because if your voice isn't supposed to sound that way, like don't make it sound that way. A good alternative might be like the Elgato Wave 3. I like that one. And there's a bunch. I mean, after that, you'll get into like Sennheisers, you'll get into XLR mics and the podcast mics. The SM7B is actually, for its price, maybe like one of the best ones. It just kind of is kind to everyone's voice, no matter what kind of voice you have. But I'm not an audio engineer, so I'm not like the best person to ask about microphones. I can only speak on that basic level.
So I'll give you my 2 cents. That's because my Blue Yeti literally has a personality of its own. And some days it decides to work and some days it does not. And if I take it and disconnect it and shove it in a box for 3 months, when the current microphone dies, I plug it in and it works for a couple of weeks, and then it just decides not to work again. So yeah, mine's possessed. Caitlin, if you got any more questions, we got like 5 minutes before we're going to go to our next one. Absolutely pop them in chat. Keep up the good work. I mean, I know this is like a grindy job, you know, if you're doing, you know, especially if you're doing things like automotive sales training, God bless your heart. I mean, I don't know how you do that sober. It's like,
oh yeah. Every time I'm like, is this worth it? I'm like, yeah, do it. Keep everyone happy.
This is fantastic. And I'm sure that we always end up having a ton of conversations, you know, on the Discord as well about voice acting and where you go from there and all that sort of good stuff. So absolutely keep up the good work. If there's any way that we can help at all, let me know. Do you have any like final thoughts, anything you want to plug?
Man, if you're in Detroit, come see me in my play right now. It's only running for 2 more weeks.
It's Jeff Daniels wrote and directed it, so it's real silly, and I'm a main in that. Also, he has a series coming out end of March that I'm in. I got in 2 episodes of American Rust, drops on Amazon Prime on March 28th. So it's cool to be able to say I did that. My pride and joy is my YouTube of sketch comedy characters. That's really all I want to do is silly characters. So that's where voice acting comes from. And that's where I do what I preach. I make my own content as I think everyone should if you're trying to be a creative in any space. So that's where my stuff is at, youtube.com/CaitlinBird.
All right. And we got one final one, and it's a good one to end on too. So what are the best ways to find good voice actors on a budget without having to search out tons of individuals?
I would search hashtag VA on X and then listen to some demos. You might have to listen to like 15 demos before you have an idea of like, oh, this was a better demo. This was not as good a demo. But once you can listen for it, be like, oh, that's super legit. That's really legit. Like, go crazy just searching for VA on X.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to bounce. Give us a moment or two, and then we'll be back very, very shortly with our own Ash to do a community manager talk. Caitlin, thank you. And enjoy the wonderful weather in Michigan today. And we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Bye, everyone.